Well, for those of you who are paying attention on Monday, you'll have heard me speak to Oliver Farnworth, who plays Dan Gallagher in the stage adaptation of Fatal Attraction. Yes, that Fatal Attraction. Well, last night, Nicola Upson went along to the Cambridge Arts Theatre, where it's on all week, and she joins me now. Nicola, very good afternoon.
Hello, Neil. Nice to be here.
Nice to be here too. So what did we think?
Well, I have to say the laugh's on me, because I must admit, with quite low expectations, nothing to do with the production or the cast or anything about that, but just the sheer idea of putting Fatal Attraction onto the stage when it's such a legendary, iconic film that, you know, things work on the stage and they work on the film simultaneously. I think, in fact, lots of things like War Horse, maybe even The Woman in Black, better on stage for my reasoning than they were on the screen. But I did have my doubts about this, simply because the cast is so legendary in that film, the performances, the whole premise. I mean, it's gone into the language, hasn't it? So say Bunny Boiler now.
Exactly.
We all know what it means. And it's such a textured, nuanced film in terms of those character relationships and that fatal attraction of the affair and Beth, the wife, and that triangle of relationships, that I did wonder if they were going to pull off anything even that came close to it. And I'm delighted to say that they really, really did.
Wow. I mean, we said when I talked to Oliver on Monday, you know, he's been in Hollyoaks and Coronation Street, and to be honest, he's never had the comic relief characters. He's always been the one who's going to wind up in prison or something like that. You've got Susie Amy, who has been on Footballers' Wives, and Louise Redknapp, I mean, she's married to a footballer for starters, so they're all used to this sort of, I'm not accusing anybody of having affairs, but they're used to that sort of lifestyle. I can imagine they can picture themselves in that scenario.
And interesting, you pick up on Oliver's lack of comic roles, and certainly when we see him first on stage in this, the play opens with him saying, yeah, why did I do it? It could have been so different. It was that moment that has just spiraled my life into a completely different place. And it's just been 3 months, 12 weeks, and yet I feel like a completely different person. And then, of course, you wind back and you see how he's got to that. And that kind of tension is there throughout. It's interesting, when you read the programme, the writer James Dearden and the director were asked to give what they think this play is in three words. And the director, Loveday Ingram, said a psychological thriller. And the writer, James Dearden, says a cautionary tale. I think it's that last three words that makes it such a good psychological
thriller. Every man's nightmare would be the three words.
Nightmare. I mean, not just every man's nightmare, every woman's, because I think, you know, that might have been an interesting thing, actually, to change the roles round and see it having a woman play the Dan Gallagher role. But anyway, we didn't get that. But that's what makes Fatal Attraction, I think, such a nuanced and textured and rich story, really. It's not just the archetypal, superficial having an affair and what the consequence is going to be. It is. I mean, somebody, Angela, in fact, we were talking at the interval, she said, really, it's just like an old-fashioned morality tale. And it is exactly that. And it's clever because it's not black and white. You know, Alex and Dan have the affair. Should he have done it? Of course he shouldn't. Should she have gone into it with her eyes wide open like that? No, because her feelings change. Beth obviously is the outsider in that relationship. Is she the only victim, or are the other two victims in a way as well? And it's all those questions that keep working around in your mind that the script really plays on throughout the play.
How did the audience take it? Because I made the point again to Oliver that back in the 80s, it was the sort of film that everybody saw, but to my mind, everybody only ever saw once. You don't ever sit there and go, just tell you what, let's watch Fatal Attraction again.
Yeah, came out in 87. It was the first film I think I went to see illegally, underage. It was the first certificate 18 I went to see when I shouldn't have done. And yeah, it did have that kind of shock factor. And I think even today, that was the nice thing about last night, I think, and it's a testament to the film and a testament to the script of the play as well, is how well that audience knows. Because there's and I mean this in a kind of positive way, there's a sense of melodrama, almost a sense of pantomime, in the sense that the audience knows what's going to happen. So when Beth is giving, there's that wonderful moment where Alex turns up in the flat and Dan walks in and finds his wife and his mistress cozily on the sofa together talking about houses. And Beth gives Alex their phone number that Dan's only just had changed. And there's oohs and amongst the audience because we know that's not a good idea. And the bunny boiler scene, obviously you're going into this play thinking, how are they going to do that? And it's really shocking. Let's, you know, to kill a kid's pet in that way. It's not good. But they played that really, and with help from the audience, because of the audience reaction, that becomes almost a scene from pure melodrama. And it's that kind of lightness of touch, that self-referential playing with what the audience is going to think about this play. I mean, you get the sense that the writer and the director know very clearly what the audience reactions are going to be at certain points, and they really make the most of that.
It's interesting as well in the film, because in the film you've got the scenery, the sets are able to really set the scene. When they first meet and they wind up having their dinner and everything, it's all very, you know, uptown Manhattan, isn't it? And then he's got that very, you know, white picket fence, mum's homemade apple pie on the windowsill, country life type scenario that he goes back to. How does the scenery work on a stage production?
Gone up a gear, and I think it really does elevate this production incredibly. The creative team have done a wonderful job, because you get Manhattan on it's an interactive backdrop, really. So you get the Manhattan skyline, you get the open skies and the trees and the country feel through the projections onto the screen, but it does more than that. This production is unashamedly modern, so you get the phone calls, which the FaceTime, which is then projected up onto the screens as they're talking on the phone on the stage. And also with the sound effects, and that you get static and you get blood and you get lighting. So the set really taps into the mood of what's happening minute by minute on stage. And it does lift it to something very, very modern. It stops it being a dated production of an 80s film, and lifts it to something very, very contemporary. Because, of course, the themes of the show are timeless. They're going to work wherever you set it.
Aren't they just? Yes.
from a digital and theatrical point of view, the modernness of it really gives it an edge.
Fantastic. Well, it's on all week. It's got the usual evening performances at 7:30, matinee performances on Thursday and Saturday at 2:30. Tickets are available through cambridgeartstheatre.com, and it gets a real thumbs up from you.
Yes, it does.
And on the subject of thumbs up, they've done rather well at the Arts Theatre this week. I saw a press release about their pantomime.
Yeah, we've just been talking about Dan, who's a villain by circumstance. And now we're going to move to Roland Bell, who, of course, was one of the stars of last year's pantomime, who has just won Pantomime Villain of the Year.
That's fantastic.
I know. I think it's the first time that the Arts Theatre's production have won an award in these particular, which are the Oscars of the pantomime world. Let's not mess about. So it's a wonderful achievement for them, and of course for him. And he did light up the stage. He was so popular.
That is that. One I would want right dead centre on my mantelpiece. If I had friends coming round, excuse me, Pantomime Villain of the Year.
Yeah, it's like the Soap Villain of the Year, isn't
it?
It's
just
the one to win. So great news for the fact that they've got that.
Well, there you go. So you better book your tickets early for the, when they announce it, you better get your panto tickets in early now, because everyone's going to want to go and see. Hopefully he'll be in it this year, fingers crossed.
It'd be lovely if he did come back, if not this year, in another, because that's the nice thing the Arts Theatre do. They do take the actors who have struck a real rapport with the audience and build that year on year. So hopefully we'll see him again.
Oh, he'll get a rapturous applause when he comes on stage, and well deserved. And how about you? What's up next then, Nicola?
Well, there's a lot of things. We're having our book launch with Mandy. We're both publishing our 10th book in our various crime series. And we're going to have a launch on Waterstones in Cambridge on the 18th of May. If you want to come along for that, you can find tickets on Eventbrite. So that's what we're heading towards at the moment.
Fantastic. And I love this because we talk on Zoom and you're one of these people whose bookcase behind you is just full of the two of you's books. So you're going to need a bigger book. You're going to need a bigger bookcase now, because it's just, you're both putting them on a pace.
Yeah, got a bit of a clear out.
Absolutely. Lovely to catch up with you, Nicola. Thanks so much indeed for that. Glad you enjoyed it. And we'll speak to you soon. Take care.
See you soon. Bye.